Okay, nice to see everyone. We're going to explore together a fascinating topic this morning, a topic that's very timely, very relevant, halacha lema'aseh. Can one fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah reading by listening to the Megillah over Zoom? And this question, as I said, is very relevant, very practical, especially with a global pandemic. When Corona began 2 years ago, it was Erev Purim, if you recall, and at that time already I had members of my shul congregants who were unable to attend the Megillah reading because the government had just announced that if you had returned from a trip abroad, you had to quarantine for whatever it was then, 7 days, 14 days. This is really as the pandemic really began. And of course, in the days and weeks and months after, this question became even more relevant. What can we do via Zoom? Seems like we're doing everything on Zoom these days. Even today, we're learning together still today via Zoom. So this question is so relevant. Can we fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah over Zoom? But we'll see this morning, this is not a new question. This question has been asked already decades ago. Poskim dealt with and discussed and debated whether one can fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah even using a microphone. Let's say there's a large crowd assembled and you want to read the Megillah into a microphone so that everyone could hear. Poskim discussed and debated whether one can fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah by hearing the Megillah through some sort of amplified electronic device like a microphone, like a telephone, we'll see. What about a radio broadcast? Okay, each year, if you are driving home from shul after Megillah reading in shul, you flip on the Israeli radio, you'll find some station that is broadcasting a live reading of Megillah. So can one fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah by listening to a radio broadcast or a television broadcast? And of course, the contemporary question, the question today is via Zoom, but it's really an old question, okay? And many poskim, as we'll see, compare the mitzvah of reading the Megillah to the mitzvah of shofar, okay? We'll see the Mishnah itself seems to make a comparison between the kol shofar and the kol Megillah, the voice or the blast of the shofar, and the voice of Megillah, meaning Megillah reading. So take a look here at source number one. This is from the third perek of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah discusses the types of shofarot that are valid, the types of shofarot that are invalid. And the seventh Mishnah, the Mishnah Zion, begins, HaTokel Letoch HaBor, someone who blasts the shofar, blows the shofar into a pit, o letoch hadut, o letoch hapitam, or into a water cistern, or into some large earthenware vessel. Im kol shofar shama yatsa, v'im kol havara shama lo yatsa. If one hears the sound of the shofar, he's fulfilled his obligation. If one hears an echo, meaning not the original sound, the Mishnah says he has not fulfilled his obligation. Okay? Now the first question is, what is the Mishnah talking about? Why would there be a situation where a person would blow a shofar in a pit, or in a water cistern underground, or in a cave, or into some sort of kli, some sort of large earthenware vessel? I mean, you know, why would someone do such a thing? So, as you all know, unfortunately, there have been many periods in Jewish history where the shofar had to be blown underground in secret, in a clandestine way, okay? But what the Mishnah is teaching is that one must hear the sound of the shofar and not an echo of the shofar. Now, how do you know if you're hearing the sound of the shofar or an echo of the shofar, right? It's difficult to know, especially if you know a little bit about sound. And we'll talk a little more about sound this morning. If you know a little bit about sound, I play music, I sing, I play guitar and a few other instruments, so I know a little bit about sound. You know, there's something that we call reflection. The sound bounces off the walls. You don't have to blow a shofar in a pit or in a water cistern to have some reflection, to have the sound bouncing off the walls. You can have that even in a synagogue, right? However, the Gemara here in source number 2 on Daf Chav Zayin clarifies, at least halachically, what is called hearing the shofar and what is called hearing an echo, kol havara. And the Gemara says that if one is inside of the pit, then one is hearing the echo. Just the opposite. I'm confused this morning. Here, take a look at the bottom. Hatokeh letoch habor letoch hadut amar Rav Huna lo shanu ele lo tana haomdim al sfat habor. This was only taught in relation to one who is standing at the edge of the pit. In other words, if you're standing at the edge of the pit, then we assume you're hearing the echo. Aval otan omdim babor yatsu. But if you're standing inside of the pit itself, then you have fulfilled the obligation. So what the Gemara is teaching is, or what the Gemara is clarifying is, that when is it called an echo? That's when you're hearing it if you're standing outside of the pit. The sound reflects off the walls of the cave or the pit, and then makes its way outside, and so you're hearing an echo and you've not fulfilled your obligation. But if you're there inside together with the Baal Tokeya, together with the one who's blowing the shofar, so then you have fulfilled the obligation. Okay? So similarly, if you're in the synagogue, right, even if, yes, we know the way sound waves work and the physics of sound, that they do bounce off the walls, but if you're in the same area together with the Baal Tokeya, that's not called hearing an echo. That's called hearing the kol hashofar. Okay. Now the Mishnah continues. V'chein mishe over achure beit hakneset o shayap beito samuch lebeit hakneset v'shama kol shofar. If someone is behind the synagogue, you're outside of the synagogue, or your home is next to the synagogue, and you hear the shofar, o kol megillah. And this is significant because here the Mishnah itself makes a comparison with Megillah reading. You hear someone blowing the shofar, you hear someone reading the Megillah. Im kiven libo yatsa. The seifa of the Mishnah, the second part, discusses kavana latzet. You have to have intent to fulfill the obligation. One who fulfills the obligation of, whether it's shofar, whether it's Megillah, right? You fulfill the obligation with what's called shomea keoneh, the one who's hearing it. It's as if he is fulfilling it, doing it himself. But you have to have intent. The one blowing the shofar or reading the Megillah has to have intent to fulfill the obligations of the listeners, all who are listening. And the one listening has to have the intent to fulfill his or her obligation with the one performing the mitzvah. Okay. So here we're not talking about echo, we're not talking about reflection. We're talking about you're hearing it from the source. You know, the shofar blast is coming out the window of the shul, you're right there. We used to live in our previous apartment in Har Nof, right next to the Boston Shul. And you could hear from the first minyan there, shofar. You could probably hear Megillah too, maybe. So if you have the intent to fulfill the obligation, okay, you can fulfill the obligation. V'im lav lo yatsa, but if not, no. Okay, you need to have the proper intent. Afal pi shezeh shema v'zeh shema. Zeh kiven libo v'zeh kiven, zeh lo kiven libo. The Mishnah says, even though, you know, in both cases, you may have heard the shofar being blasted, or you may have heard the Megillah being read. But if you did not have the proper intent, okay, you have not fulfilled the obligation. One who has the intent has, one who does not have the proper intent has not fulfilled his obligation. Okay, so you see the Mishnah makes this comparison between the kol shofar and the kol Megillah. And so, you have many poskim when discussing and debating and deciding whether one can fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah by hearing the Megillah through a microphone or over a telephone or via a live radio broadcast, well, they compared it to the sound of the shofar. And some suggested that maybe when you hear the Megillah being read over a microphone or some sort of electronic device, some sort of Marechet Hagbara, a PA system, or on a telephone which amplifies the voice, etc., maybe that's not called the voice of the Megillah. Maybe that's called an echo. And just like an echo is not valid by Tekiat Shofar, maybe an echo is not valid by Megillah as well. Okay? And here on Daf Chav Zayin, you have other examples of invalid kolot. When we say that the blast of the shofar is invalid, what if there's a crack in the shofar and someone, you know, fixes it, but it changes the sound of the shofar? That also invalidates the shofar. Im nishtane kolo. Okay? Then it's pasul. Or what if the Gemara there discusses someone puts gold on top of the shofar? Well, it depends where, but if a person puts gold on top of the shofar, gilds the shofar, gold or silver to decorate the shofar, but it changes the sound of the shofar, that too is an invalid kol. So we have this whole discussion of shinui bekol, the change of the sound which invalidates the shofar. By the way, these questions here, also very relevant over the past 2 years, with regards to blowing shofar safely in shul before everyone was vaccinated. You know, when a person speaks, okay, they wear a mask, so that prevents transmission of a virus. But if you're blowing the shofar, you can't blow the shofar with a mask on. And in fact, there were all sorts of studies that when people symphonies, orchestras, bands were playing brass and woodwind instruments, you know, there's saliva that comes out. There are all sorts of droplets and particulates and things that get into the air, which can be a contagion, can cause the spread of disease. So there were all sorts of discussions. What should we do? Maybe put the Baal Tokeya in a corner, right? So that when he blows the shofar nice and loud, it doesn't spread all these molecules and droplets into the air. But maybe then it's a problem of kol havara. Maybe you're hearing an echo, okay? Or what about putting a mask on top of the shofar? So that too was discussed by some of the poskim. Does that change the sound of the shofar? We did an experiment in my shul. We found if you put even two masks over the mouth of the shofar, that it did not change the kol, did not change the sound, change the blast. But in any case, the Gemara discusses how a change to the sound of the shofar invalidates the shofar. So again, poskim want to compare the shofar to Megillah, and we'll see that some will suggest maybe speaking through a microphone or over the telephone or via a live radio broadcast or Zoom, that changes the sound, changes the call. And just like shofar, it's invalid. Others will suggest that you need to hear the Megillah, of course, from someone who is obligated in the mitzvah. Okay? The other week we spoke about possible differences in the nature of the obligation of men in Megillah versus the nature of a woman's obligation in Megillah. But in any case, you need to hear the Megillah from someone who is obligated in the mitzvah, a bar chiyuva. So some of the poskim suggested that when you hear the Megillah being read over a microphone or through some electronic device, some amplification, through a telephone, through a radio broadcast, a radio signal, that is not called hearing a Megillah from Bar Chiyuva, from someone who's obligated in the mitzvah. Because once you speak into that electronic device, all right, we'll talk a little bit about the physics of it and how a microphone works. This morning I even brought a microphone. I have a microphone I'm using, but I brought another microphone to show you the inside of a microphone and how it works. But some suggested, or some poskim wanted to say, that by speaking into some electronic device that's going to amplify the sound, once those sound waves, okay, become some sort of electronic signal, okay, then it's as if you're hearing the Megillah from a robot or from an electronic device, or it's no different than a recording. Okay? It's no different than listening to a recording of the Megillah being read. And everyone would agree that listening to a recording of the Megillah being read does not fulfill one's obligation in the Megillah reading. So here, let's take a look at this first tshuva, source number 3. This is from Rav Kook. Now, Rav Kook here doesn't relate directly to the question of can one fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah with a microphone or over a telephone or via radio broadcast. Certainly, he's not talking about Zoom. He's not talking about Megillah at all, in fact. He's talking about answering to Kiddushah, answering Baruch Hu, answering Amen. Okay, that's what he's talking about. But we'll see that for Rav Kook, this comparison with Tkiat Shofar is misplaced. This comparison is not compelling. Take a look where I've underlined in source number 3. Okay, b'shomei al yedei telephone o radio kiddusha o Baruch Hu. Now, let's say someone hears Baruch Hu, kiddusha, a bracha over the telephone or over the radio, and it's a live broadcast, it's not a recording. Imutar la'anot acharav. Can you answer? Hine anachnu kaimalan shemachar shetzibur bimkomo. Yesh sham asara b'makom echad. Ein shum mechitza mafsika ben Yisrael aviyem shebashamayim. Once you have a minion of 10, not even a iron curtain can prevent or can be a barrier between the Jewish people and their Father in heaven. And even if you're passing by, you know, they're davening, you know, in the street, okay, and you're walking by, you're not part of the minyan, and you're maybe even at a distance, but you hear kiddusha, you hear baruch Hu, you hear a bracha, you can answer, okay. Kamuvuar b'Shulchan Aruch, he cites where the Shulchan Aruch discusses this. V'im navo listapek shema ze nikra kol havara v'lo etzem hakol. Oh, and this is important for our discussion this morning. Rav Kook here, in a tshuva on Orach Mishpat, he writes that if you suggest that this is an echo, and it's not the etzem hakol, right? In other words, if you want to compare it to this Mishnah, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which says that hearing an echo from a shofar is invalid, well, he says, no, it's not the same thing. Elanu chiluk ze ki'im dafka b'shofar. We only make this distinction, where? By shofar. By the mitzvah of tekiat shofar. Shesham hikpida Torah al hakol, shie kol shofar. There, with regards to the mitzvah of tekiat shofar, the Torah is strict and requires one to hear the kol shofar. Okay? I mean, it's a yom truah, it's a day of blasts. You have to hear the sound of the shofar. And if you hear an echo or the voice of the shofar changes, so it's invalid. But what Rav Kook is saying, but that's a din by shofar. You have to hear the original sound. So by extension, we can suggest that even though Rav Kook does not directly relate to our question, the question of listening to the Megillah via a microphone or over a telephone or via a live radio broadcast, Rav Kook would say similarly that just as you can't compare listening to a bracha or kiddush or baruch Hu over the phone or via live broadcast to the sound of a shofar being blasted in a pit or in a cistern, so too Rav Kook would have to say that by Megillah also it's not a valid comparison. Again, Rav Kook writes, Shesham hikpida Torah al hakol shekol shofar. With regards to tekiat shofar, the Torah requires one to hear the authentic original sound of the shofar. But with regards to Megillah, Rav Kook would say, no, that's a different halacha. Okay. So take a look here at source number 4. This is a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Igrot Moshe. This is Orach Chaim Chelek Bet. Most of Rav Moshe's tshuvot are dated. This one is not dated. which is unfortunate, but okay, it came out in the second chelek of Orach Chaim, so I don't know, maybe he wrote it in the maybe in the 60s. So here, Rav Moshe, look where I've underlined, is dealing with a question already with regards to Kriyat Megillah. Hinei b'davar Kriyat HaMegillah al yidei mikrofon. Okay, he's talking about listening to Megillah via the microphone. Kasheh lomar bazeh halacha brura. And as I said, it's unfortunate that the tshuva is not dated. You see that Rav Moshe wasn't clear as to the mechanics or the physics of the microphone, how it works. Ki lo nitbarer karui eich nishma al yidei zeh, al yidei anashim harui lismoch aleihem. It's not clear to me exactly how it works, how you hear the voice, how the voice is reproduced or how it travels. Okay. And then he, look where I've underlined next. He addresses the rabbi who asks him this question. There was a rabbi, Chaim Dovber Ginsburg, who asked him this question. Okay. He writes, Aval ma shepshita lei, lekvod torato harama, she'en yotzim b'shmi al yidei ha-mikrofon, mitam shehu kemo she'shomea me'eno bar chiyuva, lefim ha-de'omrim ha-mumchim b'tivo shel mikrofon, she'lo motzim mamash ha-kol shel adam ha-medaber, ela head havara ba'alma. He says, but what is simple to you? Kvod Torah Torah, he gives him this appellation. What is simple to you that one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah through a microphone? Why? Because it's as if you're hearing it from someone who is not obligated in the mitzvah, because you're hearing it from some electronic device, right? And that's what the experts say about the physics of the microphone, that it doesn't really reproduce the voice of the individual. Rather, it's like an echo, okay? It's like an echo. Velo dak votorato bilshono, de ein shaykh ze lekol havara, shebimatnit nin de Rosh Hashanah dav chav zayin. So he says, well, I'm not gonna be so pedantic to get into the language, but you're conflating two different things, Rav Moshe says. Number one, there is the issue of kol havara, okay? An echo. And that's what we have in the Mishnah, he writes. But then there's a separate issue of hearing it from someone who is not obligated in the mitzvah. So he says, you're not being so precise. What we have in the Mishnah, it's not shayach. It's not related to this. Sharei hacha nishma kol chazak ubari. Oh. Because what? Because the Mishnah is referring to hearing an echo of the shofar. But in this case, when you hear it from a microphone, it's not an echo. You're not hearing an echo of the sound. Instead, the microphone makes the voice louder. It's a loud and healthy voice. In other words, don't compare it to the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Ach kavanat kvod Torah Torah ma hi she'omrim she'nishma kol acher she'nivra mikolo. But what you really intend to mean is that when a person speaking into a microphone or reading the Megillah into a microphone, it's reproducing the voice. It's as if it's another voice. It's a voice from someone else, or it's some other type of voice. It's not a human voice. V'lachein shech dimyono nishma milav bar chiyuva. And therefore, maybe it is related to this concern of hearing the Megillah from someone who is not obligated in the Megillah. In other words, you're hearing an electronic reproduction of the voice as opposed to the voice. And that, you could suggest, is maybe relevant to the discussion. But the issue of an echo, that's not related whatsoever to this issue of hearing the Megillah from someone who's not obligated in the Megillah himself. And then here Rav Moshe admits, again, says, personally, I'm in doubt. I have my doubts. Af im neima shayemet kamirat amumchim shelo nishma kol haadam ela kol acher shenasa mikolo. I have my doubts. Even what you report the experts say. Again, he's speaking to the one who inquired, he's speaking to this Rabbi Ginsburg, who asserted that experts say that it's a reproduction of the voice. It's not the same sound, it's not the same voice of the person who is reading the Megillah. So Rav Moshe expresses his doubts. He says, I have my doubts whether that is correct or not, that what you say in the name of these experts, that one is not hearing the voice of a human being, rather it's some other voice that's made from his voice. Because what happens? It's not yeshmeayin, it's not coming from nowhere. Rav Moshe writes that when is the voice reproduced? It's only reproduced when the person is speaking into the microphone, right? When the person's reading the Megillah into the microphone. So yesh lahachshiv ze kishmiat kolo mamash. You could say that this is considered to be, we could consider this to be, even though it's via a microphone, but it's being produced by a human being. It's not a robot that's producing the sound. The human being is producing the sound. The sound is being carried via the microphone, but the human being is producing the sound. So he says that you could consider that to be shmiat kolo mamash. It's as if it's the person's voice. It's mamash the person's voice. Dehare kol ze shenishma osek kolo mamash. He's making, it's not yesh me'ayin, he's speaking into the microphone. It's just carrying his voice. Okay? Uminayin lanu etzem koach hashmiya. Okay. Now he raises a very important point, and it's very compelling. How does sound travel in general? Right? You know, some poskim will raise the issue of a delay. Okay? So, how does sound travel? Well, sound is a wave. Okay? It's a type of energy, it's a form of energy, and it travels through the air. You have these sound waves that travel and then are picked up by a person's ear. We'll talk in a few moments about the physics of a microphone or the mechanics of a microphone and how it works, but you could suggest that just as a microphone takes one's voice and transmits it, okay, sends the waves over to some sort of amplifier, so too, when a person speaks, their voice travels. And if you want to say the problem is that maybe there's a little delay in a microphone or a telephone, certainly we've experienced delays and hiccups with Zoom if you've got a poor internet connection or if you've got, you know, six kids at home all trying to get into Zoom class at the same time during lockdown. But is it any different, Rav Moshe asks, than the human voice and how sound waves travel? Okay. V'chein mistaber lefi ma she'omrim chachmei ha'teva she'akol yesh lo hiluch ad ha'ozen v'gam yesh k'tzat shihui zman b'hilucho. He says, yeah, it would seem to be similar to what the physicists, the Chachmei Ateva, the scientists say about how sound travels to one's ear, and it takes some time. And maybe there's even a slight delay. You know, you have light that travels at a certain speed and sound that travels at a certain speed. And if you've ever been to a big concert in a big amphitheater where they've got like a big screen, sometimes the visual doesn't exactly match up with the sound because the speed of light is faster than the speed of sound. So you're actually seeing the lips of the performer, right, move just a split second before you hear that word come out. Okay. But what Moshe is saying is it's still called live. It's still a live performance, if you will. Okay. ומכל מקום נחשב שהוא קול הדם. לכן אפשר שגם הקול שנעשה במיקרופון בעת שמדבר ששומעים אותו, הוא נחשב קולו ממש, וכן היותר מסתבר. Okay, so he says that, again, it would seem that similarly with a microphone, the voice is being amplified, but it's a human voice. It's still a person's voice. Okay? וגם לא ברור הדבר, מה שאומרים שהוא קול אחר. So it's not clear to me what you're saying in the name of these scientists or experts that it's considered a different voice. Okay, why? Just because you're amplifying the voice, the waves are traveling through some sort of electronic device, so that changes the voice. It's a different voice. Umitam ze efshar en limchot biyad elu sherotzim likro hamigila al yedei mikrofon mitzad halacha. So he concludes and writes, therefore, for this reason, we can't protest against those who want to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah by reading it through a microphone. Okay. However, look how he finishes his tshuva. Skip to where I've underlined next. Okay. He raises the issue of synagogues where they're using microphones on Shabbos and on Yantif. And as you know, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, in America, this was a very real question. You had even Orthodox synagogues that introduced microphones into the synagogue. Okay? So he writes, Ach mikol makom kevan shelo barur leheter v'hu inyan chadash, even though it's not clear, you know, that there's a real heter to read the Megillah through a microphone, and it's a new thing, b'chlal yesh limchot kedei lemona milerdof acharei chadashot acherot shelotim bazeh b'medinot elu kimo shekotev kvod torato harama. Okay, so he ends off by saying, better not to use the microphones. Why? Because it's going to lead to, well, not mixed dancing, but it could lead, it can encourage this movement, this movement which Rav Moshe is dealing with, at a time when they were introducing microphones into even Orthodox synagogues in America. Okay? And we don't have the letter of this Rabbi Ginsburg, but it's possible that Rabbi Ginsburg addressed that as well. But what Rav Moshe writes, at least concerning reading the Megillah via microphone, he makes a few important points. He writes that really, mitzad alacha mi'ikar adin, it should be permissible. Why? While he has his doubts, he's not really convinced that speaking into a microphone, even though the sound waves are, they go through some sort of electromagnetic induction, they are converted into some sort of electrical signal that then comes out a speaker on the other end, he doesn't consider that to be a different voice. He doesn't consider that to be listening to the Megillah from a robot or someone that's not a bar chiyuva. Okay, how does the voice get there? The Megillah is being read in real time. It just amplifies the voice, writes Rav Moshe. Okay, and he says that in his mind he's not so clear, but it doesn't seem that it would be any different than the way voice travels through the air, even without a microphone, till it reaches one's ear. And then here in source number 5, Rav Moshe has a similar tshuva. This already is Chelek Dalet in the Or HaChaim, comes out later. And here he's dealing with listening to Havdalah on the telephone for Nebucha, a woman who's has been hospitalized. And, you know, there's a whole discussion as to the nature of a woman's obligation in the mitzvah of Havdalah. So here, Nebuch, we don't have to read it together. It's a short tshuva, but he also, you know, even at that late date, again, we don't know when this tshuva is written. It doesn't have a date on it, but this is obviously a little bit later. It was published in the fourth chelek of the Igrot Moshe Or HaChaim. But ultimately, he expresses his doubts, but nevertheless allows for a woman who's been hospitalized to listen to Havdalah over the telephone and to fulfill the mitzvah that way. Okay? But again, he hesitates and writes, it's in a case where there are no other options. But you see, from the tshuva that we just saw together in source number 4, Rav Moshe believed that a microphone or the telephone or some sort of electronic device, you know, listening to the Megillah maybe via a live radio broadcast, it wouldn't really impede one from fulfilling the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah that way. Because, again, it's being read in real time. It's a human voice, even though the voice is being amplified. It's not considered like you're hearing the voice of a robot. That's not a bar chiyuva. It's not compared or not comparable, according to Rav Moshe, to a recording. But we'll see some other opinions here in source number 6. This is a tshuva from Rav Avad Yosef, where he's asked, Hashomea mikra Megillah bevet ha-kneset mipi shelech tzibor hakoret ha-Megillah biramkol. What about hearing the Megillah, again, via microphone, a sound system in a Beit Knesset. You're hearing it live. You're standing there or sitting there in the shul, but it's being read into a microphone. Ha'im yotzei yidei chovat mikra Megillah. Can one fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah that way? And he also here in this tshuva touches on listening to the Megillah via live radio broadcast. And this has major implications for our discussion this morning. What about listening to the Megillah via Zoom? Okay. So take a look where I've underlined. First, he cites a tshuva from the Minchat Elazar, the Munkacher, the Admor Mimunkach, very important posek. His Aman b'shelu tshuvot Minchat Elazar chelek bet. Dan b'mi sheshomea derech ha-telefon kol shofar b'rosh Hashanah u'mikra Megillah b'purim. Okay? So you could ask, why is a person listening to the shofar on a telephone, right? Okay? Well, so obviously this is extenuating circumstances. He was asked if a person, I guess maybe a person lives somewhere where there's absolutely no way he can fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. Maybe the person doesn't have access to a shofar, cannot blow the shofar for himself. And obviously, he's not calling into the shul Rosh Hashanah morning, but maybe he leaves the telephone off the hook, right? He calls in before Rosh Hashanah. It's kind of a strange scenario. Or what about Mikra Megillah on Purim via telephone? Okay. Im yotzei de chovato, v'katav, yes, he's asked if he can fulfill the obligation. Now, and he wrote, Shinire pashut shel gabei tkiat shofar lo yatsa. Shezeh domer, what we saw, he says, concerning listening to shofar via telephone, obviously, it doesn't work. It's compared to the Mishnah that we began with. It's like someone who hears the shofar from a pit or underground in a cave, you're hearing the echo. Okay? If you hear an echo, you're not yotzei. Similarly, if you hear shofar via telephone. Im kol shofar shama yatsa, v'im kol havara shama lo yatsa. As the Mishnah said, as we saw, if you hear the sound of the shofar, you have fulfilled the obligation. If you hear an echo, you have not. V'chein kan sha'kol sha'al yidei ha'telefon darko latzeit kishehu me'urav, v'lo kikolo shel ish ha'midaber mamash. It says, when you hear something on the telephone, it's mixed up, right? It's not a human voice. It's mixed up with what? With, yeah, it's being reproduced electronically. The sound waves are converted into whatever it is, electronic impulses, currents. I'm not an electrician or a physicist, but an electrical engineer. That's the word I was looking for. Ubevadai shegam kol shofar ye murav yishtane ki derech havarat telephone. Certainly, the sound of the shofar is going to get mixed up and is going to change over the telephone. You're going to hear an echo. Lefichach lo yatsa. Therefore, you're not yotze. Aval inyan Megillah, but concerning Megillah, chakarti bechol etzdadim shekatav harav shoel velo matzati kidei leesor. The Munkacher writes that with regards to hearing Megillah over the phone, I have done my research. And I haven't found any reason to aser it, to forbid it. Shebemet b'Megillah lo nifsak kolo shel hakoreh im nitaveh b'havarat ha-telefon b'shmeah b'richuk makom. Ad kan. So he says, yeah, in truth, it doesn't passel the voice or the sound of the Megillah, right? Even if you've got, something mixed up into it. What does he mean? Im nitaveh. You know, when he was writing, the sound over the telephone wasn't as good as it is today, wasn't as clear as it is today. Okay? You know, even I'm not so old, but I remember as a child, sometimes, depending on where a person was, maybe they were calling from a payphone or something, sometimes, you know, you could hear that the voice was distorted. But for the Munkacher, he doesn't believe that that would affect or invalidate Megillah over the phone. Okay? So that's an important tshuva. Okay, so the Munkacher would say similarly that there's no problem hearing the Megillah via Zoom. Vagon Rabbi Yosef Engel b'Sefer Gilyonei Hashas dan b'davar shmiat shofar mikra Megillah al yedei ha-telefon shenitchadesh mikarov v'katav. Same question. What about hearing shofar or Megillah on the telephone? And he wrote u'bizichronai shiraiti b'sifrei ha-mechkarim ha-tivim. Okay, he saw in what in these science books, science texts, she'en hakol shel medaber im chaveru hu habala ozen hashomea, ela kol medaber marid chelak haavir hasamuch lepiv, v'chelek zeh lismoch alav. V'chein hala, kiseder hazeh, ad shenirad chelek ha'avir shebozen ha'shamea, v'lefi zeh kol ha'shmiah hi rak begeder grama. Okay, so what does he write? He writes that sound in general degrades. You know, how do sound waves work? Well, they travel through the air, okay, until they get to the listener, to the ear of the listener, and they can degrade. You don't hear someone as well if they are far away, obviously. And so there would be no difference by a telephone, okay? Okay? So one second. So ukiyotze beze katav b'shelut tshuvot chayi arye she'en yotzi midei chovat shmiat kol shofar derech ha'telefon she'kol mitzvah she'katva ha'torah la'asot b'chavana asiyat ha'mitzvah al yedei shinui v'gira'on mima she'derech rov b'nei adam la'asoto poselet ota. However, he quotes another tshuva which says, at least with regards to kol shofar by a telephone, you need to have kavana. Okay? And that's not called kavana. And some compare it similarly to, again, as we saw, Rav Moshe addressed this issue. This was the concern of the one asking the question to Rav Moshe, that maybe you're not hearing the Megillah from a human being if it's being amplified, if the sound wave is being converted. So maybe you're not hearing it from a Bar Chiyuva. Here, the Chaye Arye raises the issue of kavana, right? Can a microphone have kavana? It's not unlike the discussion you had beginning in the 19th century when they began with the Industrial Revolution to automate the matzah baking process. There's a whole major controversy, first in Europe and then here in Yerushalayim, with regards to machine matzah. Okay, matzah has to be baked for the sake of the mitzvah. Is it enough that the one pushing the button or operating the machine has the requisite kavana? Or no, does it have to be, you know, baked by hand, by the sweat of your brow, for the sake of the mitzvah? Okay. If we require, as we saw in the Mishnah that we began with, that both the one reading the Megillah and the one listening have to have kavana, well, can a microphone have kavana? Right? Is there some sort of deterioration in kavana? Or do you say no? Mapito, the one who's reading the Megillah into the microphone has kavana, and that's sufficient. Okay. Now here, Rav Avadia writes the following. He's analyzing these sources. Ubemet she lefi divrei mumchim habekim b'technika shel hachashmal hakol hanishma lemaazinim derech ha'telephone o haramko, says, as far as what the experts and the electrical engineers have to say, the voice that's heard to the ones listening, whether it's through a telephone, whether it's through a ramkol, a microphone, a speaker system, a sound system, eino kolo shel hamedaber atzmo. It's not the voice of the one who is speaking. Ela hu kol acher haba al yidei zerem chashmali beemtzut membrana. Rather, it's another sound. It's a different sound that's coming through some sort of electrical signal through the means of a membrane. Talk about this, that what that means in a moment. The imkein memela ef charlat seti de chuvat shmiat kol shofar o mikra megillah derech hatelephone o haramkol. Therefore, Rav Avadia writes, and he's going to return to this a number of times, one may not fulfill the mitzvah of shofar or megillah through a microphone because it's a different voice. It's not a human voice. You're not hearing it from a bar chiyuva. Again, that's the issue that was raised by the one who asked Rav Moshe. Now, what does he mean by membrana, membrane? And what does he mean? Well, so that is the nekudata machloket. Okay? Are you hearing the Megillah from the one who's reading the Megillah? And the sound, just like even the unaided voice, the sound travels to your ears. So now it's just taking a slightly different path. It's traveling through a microphone, whether that's part of a sound system or the microphone in a telephone receiver or the microphone in a computer that's transmitting it via Zoom on the internet, okay? Or no, or once you speak into a microphone, it's no longer considered a human voice, and you're not hearing it from someone who is a bar chiyuva. Now, he touches on how a microphone works, so I brought a microphone to show you. This is a standard microphone. There are different types of microphones. You know, there are condenser microphones and cardioid and different signal patterns and ribbon microphones and microphones for live performance and for recording and for voice and for different instruments, but they all basically work in the same way. Okay, if you unscrew the windscreen here, you see there is a diaphragm. Okay, there are large diaphragm microphones, small diaphragm microphones. They all have their own applications, but there's a diaphragm. He's calling this a membrana, membrane. But the membrane or the diaphragm picks up the vibrations of the sound when you're speaking into the microphone or singing into the microphone. Okay? And inside, there is a magnet and a coil, and it causes the magnet and the coil to vibrate and jump, and something which I don't understand, I don't pretend to understand, something called electromagnetic induction takes place, okay, whereby the sound waves are transformed into some sort of electric impulse, some sort of current that can then go through the wires and cables and come out a speaker, which also has on the other end a membrana, in the Lashon of Rav Avadia, or a diaphragm, which produces the sound. Okay, so it just takes a different path. But for Rav Avadia and some other poskim, that's not called a human voice. Once it goes into the microphone and goes through electromagnetic induction, it's no longer a human voice, and you're not hearing it from a bar chiyuva. Okay, take a look where I've underlined next. V'chein heveti mikvar b'sifri Yabia Omer Chelik Aleph b'shem Yidi Agon Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arabach. Oh, so he now cites Rav Shlomo Zalman. Shepasak shebemet ein yotzi midei chovat mikra megillah derech haramkol. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arabach also paskind you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of megillah through a microphone. Me'atam amur, for this very reason. Shakol anishma derech haramkol eino kol ha'adam ha'medaber. Because hearing megillah from a microphone, you're not hearing it from a human being. Ela kol haniklat al yidei zerem chashmali ve'emtzut membrana u'memeila ein kan shmiat mikra megillah me'adam bar chiyuva ayin sham. Again, he says, you're hearing it, it's a reproduction of a sound through some electrical impulse, through the use of this membrane, this diaphragm, this microphone, and it's not considered hearing megillah from a bar chiyuva, one who is obligated in the mitzvah. Look where I've underlined next. Okay? And he says, after I saw a tshuva of Rav Moshe, Amma machar kach ra'iti lagon Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, shelu tshuva tigrot Moshe, shekatav, right? Lashiv lagon Rav Chaim Ginsburg, we saw that tshuva together. Masha pashut l'kvot torato she'enos, etc. I'm just going to skip for the sake of time to where I've underlined next about the fourth line, middle of the line where I've underlined next. He quotes this tshuva of Rav Moshe that we saw, where Rav Moshe goes back and forth and leans towards being matir, listening to the Megillah over the telephone. Okay? This was, or via microphone, rather. It was via microphone. The tshuva in source number 5 was listening to Havdalah via the telephone. It's really the same svara. Okay? So Rav Avadia writes, "Kanira shelohu's bar lo hadavar karaui." Okay, remember, Rav Moshe, in both of those tshuvot, expresses his hesitancy as he doesn't really understand the mechanics of a microphone, how it works, the physics of the electromagnetic induction, the processes. And Rav Avadia assumes that it was not explained properly to Rav Moshe. Kanireh shelo huzbar lo hadavar karoi. It was not explained to him. Shakol anishma hu al yidei ha-membrana. The voice is being produced through this membrane, this diaphragm of the microphone. V'im kein bevadai shemitzad ikar halacha ein yotzi midei chovat mikra megillah derech ha-mikrofon. Ki yotze bazeh yesh lahir. Okay, so he says that he takes issue with Rav Moshe, disagrees with Rav Moshe, who you know, leans towards the side of Heter here and wants to be matirit. And he says, obviously, he didn't truly understand the physics of it. Kiyotze Bazes, similarly, Yesh Lahair al Divrei Hagon Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Besefer Mikre Kodesh, Shigam can't see date Shiyotzi Midei Chovat Mikre Megillah Derech Ramko. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, also major posek, the Rav of Yerushalayim, sat on the Beis Din of Kuk, wrote many important Sfarim, many important Piskei Halacha, many important Tshuvot. It was a major Dayan here in Yerushalayim for many years. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank also allows hearing the Megillah over an amplification device, a ramkol, a sound system. Shekol HaKolot Kshirim. And he brings a different reason. You know, the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah discusses, what if you've got like a voice of the shofar, the sound of the shofar, that's kind of hoarse. You know, sometimes you've got a Baal Tokea, they say that the Satan got in the shofar. The sound or the blast doesn't come out clearly. So the Gemara gives examples, if it's a hoarse sound or it's not such a clear sound, but nevertheless, the Gemara says that kol hakolot kshirim, right? So long as it's a valid shofar and a valid blast, it's valid, even if it's not such a clear sound or a crisp sound. Ela shetzarich shiyu nishmayim mipi bar chiyuva. Velo dami l'shofar shiim yesh bo tarovet kol acher pasul. And Ritzvi Pesach Frank says that, yeah, you know, when maybe by shofar on a telephone or on a microphone would be bad because you have to hear the sound of the shofar. But it can't be mixed up with anything else, as we saw. It can't be changed. But Megillah is different. Megillah is different. That same point was made by the Munkacher, okay, the Minchat Elazar, as we began with in this Tshuva of Rav Avadia. And then he continues, Uberati didi agon Rabbi Yosef Cohen shlita sham. In the note of Rav Yosef Cohen there to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's Mikrei Kodesh, Katav, he wrote, Sh'al pi divrei hagon ha-mechaber, nisteru divrei ha-ma'arim al ha-mashmi'im Mikrei Megillah al yidei ramkol, o telephone, mishum shakol nishmat darkam eno kol hadam ela kol acher mitave mikolo vidome le-taklit shel gramophone. Oh. In a footnote there, he writes what? That Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank doesn't deal with the concern that other poskim raise, that what? That when the voice is being reproduced on a microphone, maybe you're not hearing a human voice, but rather it's compared to what? A recording, a gramophone, right? Remember gramophones, remember records? That's what he's saying, a record, like an LP, okay? Right, gramophone, okay. Okay, take a look at where I've underlined next, turn the page, okay? And he writes, "V'hein atah ra'iti lagon Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach b'kovetz mamarim b'inyanei chashmal." Now he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman's work on electricity. Now you know Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach consulted with electrical engineers before writing his work on electricity and how we are to relate to electricity on Shabbat. And he writes, "She'achar shebi'er b'tuv tam v'dat she'i afshar latzeit yidei chovat mikra megillah derech microphone, telephone v'ramkol me'atam ha'amur." After he explains very clearly why it's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah reading through a microphone, through the telephone, through some sort of amplification device, me'atam ha'amur, for the reasons we stated, katav be'ara, it's written there in a footnote, okay, achar shenidpas ma'amar zen nizdamen li lidaber im maran agon bal chazon ish zatzal. Oh, after Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote this and assured listening to the Megillah over the telephone or via microphone or amplification system, he had the opportunity to talk about this with the Chazon Ish, the revered Chazon Ish. The Amarli, and he said to me, Shiladato enze pashut kolkach. The Chazon Ish said that according to him, listening to the Megillah via a microphone or a telephone, not so clear cut. Vitachen shemikivan shakol hanishma notzar al yidei hakore. He says, number one, since the sound, yes, it's being amplified via a microphone, a sound system over the telephone, but since the sound is being produced by a person in real time, a human voice, the gam hakol nishma miyad kiderech hamedabrim, and the voice is being heard immediately. Okay, maybe over the telephone or Zoom, you know, you could say maybe there's a slight delay, but it's in real time. Even a radio broadcast, there may be a slight delay, but it's in real time. It's a live broadcast. Efshar shezeh chashuv kishomea mamash mipi hakoreh. According to the Chazon Ish, it's considered like you're hearing it from the one who's reading the Megillah in real time. V'chein kishomea mamash mipi hatokea b'shofar. Similarly by shofar. V'lefi zeh tzarich lomar, Shemasha amru im kol havara shema lo yatsa hu mipnei shederach kol havara li shema ktsat zman lachar kol haadam ma she'enkin betelefon v'ramko.
Again, when we said that hearing the echo of a shofar is invalid, that's because there's a delay. But if you're hearing the sound of a shofar or Megillah being read in real time, okay, there is no delay. Even though the voice is traveling via a microphone or a telephone or via radio waves. Ulam ledati hu chidush gadol meod ve'inena mevin oto ad kan. V'nirim dvarav la'achmir. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, after consulting with the revered Chazon Ish, he said, well, this is a big chidush. The Chazon Ish seems to allow this. He suggests that since it's being read in real time, it's not a problem. It's like the voice of a human being. You're hearing it from a Bar Chiyuva. But Rav Shlomo Zalman admitted here that he doesn't really understand it. In this footnote, he says, I don't really understand it. And then Rav Ovadia adds that from his conclusion, you see, from the conclusion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you see that it's proper to be machmir. V'nirim dvarav lahachmir. It would appear that that is ultimately Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's conclusion, that one should be machmir. At the very end of this tshuva, and we'll end with this, Rav Ovadia writes, b'sikum, in sum, hashomim mikra Megillah derech haramkol, v'chein derech haradio, b'shidur yashir. If one hears the Megillah via a sound system, a microphone, okay, or a telephone, or via the radio, a live radio broadcast, einam yotzi midei chovat mitzvah mikra Megillah. According to Rav Ovadia, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Megillah. Ulam yoshim samuch el hashilach tzibur akoret Megillah derech ramkol, shaf biladai ramkol hayu shomim hetev et kriyat Megillah mipi hashilach tzibur yotzi midei chovatam. But, you know, again, if you're sitting near the Shalech Tzibor, even though he's using a microphone, which for Rav Ovadia invalidates the Megillah reading. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah hearing it through a microphone. But if you're sitting close enough to the Shalech Tzibor, the way you hear it come out from his mouth, then that's acceptable. You see, Rav Ovadia cites all of these different opinions, many of which say that one may not fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah reading through a microphone, via a live radio broadcast or over the telephone. And by extension, in answer to our question, those very same poskim would say that one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah via Zoom. However, there are poskim that allow it because, again, is it any different than the way sound travels when you speak unaided without a microphone? Sound travels in waves, okay? Whether those waves are traveling through the air or whether those waves are being converted into some sort of electrical impulse and coming out the other end of a speaker. So most poskim are machmir. However, there is what to rely on. Certainly, if a person cannot make it to Megillah reading because they are in bidud, they are in quarantine, they are chas v'shalom sick, when there is a seger, a lockdown, obviously, in those cases, there is what to rely on. You know, many poskim, even before this question of corona and the pandemic, many poskim allow, for instance, a soldier that's on duty that cannot come to hear the Megillah being read either at his base or in shul to listen to the Megillah being read on the radio. Each year there are live broadcasts on Israeli radio. And ideally, to follow along with a real Megillah. If a person has a valid kosher Megillah, that is ideal. If a person cannot make it to shul and has to listen to the Megillah, either over the telephone or via live radio broadcast or streaming on Zoom, so ideally then a person should follow along with the reader and read along with a kosher Megillah. Okay, have a wonderful day, a great week. Be well. We'll see you all Mirtz Hashem next Wednesday.